So speaking of chemoimmunotherapy, of course, I don't get your take on the big plenary presentation at ASH looking at obinutuzumab chemo versus rituximab chemo. But before I do, I've got to ask you though, this patient had radioimmune therapy. Are you still using radioimmune therapy? How many times in the last year have you sent a patient for radioimmune therapy with, lymphoma?
We did a lot of the studies with that initially, so there's still members of our group that will still use that from time to time. But to be frank, I would say that in the last year, I might have treated one such patient and not many more. And part of it is just there's such a plethora of other agents with very similar efficacy, often also because the number of patients that have bone marrow involvement making the use of radioimmunotherapy, particularly if it's closer to the 20-25% mark, a little bit more hazardous, is quite high. And then the other thing is, personally, for radioimmunotherapy, the challenge often is if you give that therapy and it turns out that the patient doesn't benefit, the blood counts are low for an extended period of time. So you actually are kind of in a little bit of a hole as to what you can do next when you have low blood counts.
So, what's your take on the obinutuzumab chemo paper? Maybe you can go through what you thought were the most important findings, the design, and kind of what you think it means.
So, I mean, this is interesting and exciting data. This is looking at chemotherapy with obinutuzumab or rituximab, followed by treating patients with obinutuzumab or rituximab for maintenance thereafter, showing an advantage for patients that received obinutuzumab. I guess the challenge is just twofold, and I think the first is that there were substantially more toxicities for the patients receiving obinutuzumab. I think in my mind, at this point, the takeaway from that particular study is that I think additional trials are needed. And part of that is just if you look at obinutuzumab-rituximab comparisons across the board, we're not seeing consistent results. Again, one of the things I would like to see personally is that most trials would show an advantage for one agent over another. But in some trials, the agents are identical. There is really no clear benefit. And then in one or two other trials, there is an advantage to using it. So, for example, G-CHOP or obinutuzumab CHOP versus R-CHOP, the results are identical. So,
And you're talking about follicular or
no, this
diffuse?
is in large cell
Right, and that
lymphoma.
was also just reported at the same meeting.
Correct. So it's just to me interesting that whereas every trial when we looked at the use of rituximab versus no rituximab over the years, I think there might be one study that did not show an advantage, but very many other studies did. In this case, we're starting to see kind of a mixture. Sometimes there's a benefit, sometimes there's not. But in all of this, there is still quite a lot of additional side effects and infusion reactions and toxicities. So I think it hasn't yet got to the place where overall the consensus is it's better. I think we're still learning about it.
Although, I mean, seems like a lot of people think it might be better than rituximab and CLL.
And I think that's true. And I think the reason there is also to remember that rituximab's efficacy in CLL is very modest. So I think, CLL may be quite different to non-Hodgkin lymphoma, where the efficacy of rituximab is a higher bar.
So, it's interesting your thoughts about the toxicity. I've asked a number of people about this trial, and you're the first person who brought that up. Mostly what I've been hearing is the number of people who had to come off therapy was the same. It's mainly infusion reactions, and, it's not that big a deal. Usually goes away after once, not a deal breaker, so to speak. You seem to have a lot more concerns.
Well, I don't know that I would say I'm concerned. We give a lot of treatments that create a lot of toxicity. So I don't think people are scared of toxicities. And certainly, as I say, when one learns how to use agents, you find ways to work around the toxicities. But I do think that there are clearly more toxicities. And I think we just need to, at this point, still get a little more longer follow-up to see whether those translate into additional, patients, as I say, coming off to the study and therefore not benefiting to the same degree. I think rituximab is a very easy-to-give treatment. So that's why it makes whatever new generation of agent a little harder to beat.